This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast, coming to you right now as I do every week at this sacred hour, enlightening your musical life, talking all things music, all things technology, all things business, anything in your life as it pertains to music entertainment, these confusing times, trying to offer that beacon of light. As Kurt South always said, on the shore in the fog, you have found us. Congratulations, the P2 Podcast. Welcome, folks. Delighted you're here, as always. Delighted. Well, we've had a wonderful week here. Just a wonderful week of recording, of excitement. Man, we got Blueprint Garage Volume 3 out there, the third installment of our Blueprint Garage series. All of our full band little things that you fans just digest with an insatiable appetite, all of our cover tunes and practices and demos and old live board tapes and stuff like that. People send me this stuff. Hey, man, we recorded your show here. Here you are live here. Here you are live there. Demos I record in the studio. It's all out there for you. It's all out there. Most bands are ashamed anybody hears anything that isn't all finished and all perfect and everything. Just, oh, we don't want to put that out. We don't want anybody hearing that part of what we do. Garbage, I say, garbage. We want you to have it all. We want you to have it all. See what we're working with, the process. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to see how some of this stuff gets made, some of these Phil Pritchett and the full band concoctions that you know and love. Thanks for joining us here, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Man, today we're very excited. We're going to get into the vault later on in this show with some, Kurt South is turning turning in his grave in Virginia, rolling in his grave. I'm just kidding. Of course, Kurt is up in the podcast zone, Kurt South, the didactic lord himself. I talked to him the other day up there in Virginia. He sends his best to all you podcast listeners out there. He is out there employed in a new line of work, still thinking of all of you, all of his great fans here in Texas and fans of the podcast. He's doing well up there, working, raising his family, living in Virginia. He was telling me about the leaves on the trees, you know, about his log cabin in the woods he has that he so often talked about, hunting some rabbits for supper and things of that nature. He's doing it all up there in Virginia. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Kurt South doing very, very well up there in Virginia. Man, he would have hated, he would have hated. Stood up and turned over my IKEA sofa here in the studio. If I'd have said we had Joni Mitchell in the vault, oh my goodness gracious, he goes, that is an ass whipping of gargantuan proportions. That's what he would have said, something of that nature. But man, I got some emails about Joni Mitchell from a couple different sources. A couple different sources. Our man Chad mentioned her the other day. Man, talk about a woman who never bent the rules, never sold out, never did anything like that. Now, some of her stuff beats me. I can't listen to. But man, some of her earlier stuff is worth examining. So we're gonna take a step into a Joni Mitchell world in the vault. So look forward to that. Form your opinions now, or don't form your opinions now, I should say, until you have heard all we present here on the podcast in the vault. So look forward to that. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, now this is always up in the air. We run the podcast here every week. I make loose arrangements. It's kind of like a Pritchett show. You know, we kind of got a loose idea of what we're going to do on stage, but you never know what audibles are going to be called for in the course of a show, in the course of a gig up there. But I'm telling you what, our old friend is out there lurking about, driving the streets of Fort Worth. You know of whom I speak, Blake Walker. Walker, Texas road manager, our old road manager. He's always wanting to come in, and man, he has been just bubbly about all things music and all things sports. Of course, we're big sports folks around here. Walker, he is welcoming our beloved Texas Longhorns to Loserville. Walker the longtime Aggie, the diehard. Oh, he's just been sticking it to me here. Goodness gracious. Oh, it's been a rough year for the Horns. Rough year for the Cowboys. Thank the good Lord for the Texas Rangers, man. We had a little taste of World Series greatness this year. So exciting. Just so exciting. So much to talk about on that front, the sports front. Blake Walker. Hopefully he'll be rummaging in here. I'll hear him crashing through the door here in a minute, you know, taking a few Cokes out of the fridge here at Trinidad World Recording. And coming here to talk some music, talk some sports. Let's find out what's going on with him. So look forward to that in our second segment. Man, how about Electric Alex Whedon last week? Am I right? Dude, the most beloved sideman, musician, guitar player in Texas music? Perhaps. No, he has no enemies out there. You talk about a guy that everybody loves is Alex. Happy-go-lucky, smile on his face. Aw, shucks, just glad to be here. Whedon. Oh, man, I knew him as an 11, 12-year-old when we went to camp playing guitars. How amazing is it now that he's out there playing with Miranda, you know, and just tour busing across the globe, trotting around, you know, arm in arm, you know, skipping around Australia with Keith Urban or whatever he's doing. Anyway, it's amazing. Everywhere he goes, someone hands him a beer and a new guitar from Gibson. It's incredible. Electric Al, more power to you out there. Well, what are we looking at here today, folks? You know what I'm thinking about? An interesting email I got. Thanks for your emails, by the way. Phil@philpritchett.com. Always send them. Always send them. I'll always respond. That's my promise to you out there. You'll know we're getting huge when I quit responding and I quit saying that. We're not there yet. Send them on. I'll get back to you. Our good friend Tyler down there, starting a band. He's down there in Stephenville. And I get this question a lot from other bands talking about booking agents. Oh, man, the lure of the booking agent. He was kind of saying, hey, man, we're trying to get into some different places. I can't do it all myself. I'm booking myself now, Phil. But what am I supposed to do? We're trying to get more money. We're trying to get better shows, bigger venues. And, you know, everybody's trying to move their cause down the road. Am I right? That's what we're all trying to do, no matter what line of work we're in. All trying to move the cause forward. And, man, there's always a lot of allure that you see that, you watch that band that just plays lots of nice dates. You know, look at their booking agency, man. You go, oh, man, they're with you know, this guy or that guy, William Morris or whoever, out of Nashville, or they got this guy down here. He said, man, Phil, who are these guys? Who are these mysterious booking people that can take me to where I'm trying to go? I emailed him back. I said, man, I feel your frustration. I know. And I'll say this to all of you here, kind of what I told him in a few sentences via the email, that, boy, can you hear the rain pounding down out there? God, it's pouring here. I hope you're nice, warm, and dry wherever you are today, just as I am here at Trinidad World Recording. But the booking agent, man, you know what? I've had several booking agents through the years, several all different kinds. Man, it is the ultimate grass is always greener kind of thing. You get a booking agent, it's exciting when someone says, man, I want to book you, I want to book you. And man, instantly you're into wherever they can get you into. They, you know, wouldn't be doing what they do unless they had some connections with somebody. So there's an instant surge of, hey, cool, now here we go, we're on our way. And man, there's almost an instant leveling off. And inevitably, what I've seen from all these bands have been around, some of us have done this for, you know, 15 years or so, 20 years, longer, whatever. Man, people, a lot of these acts that we've played with over the years, myself included, you tend to just move from one booking agency to the next. They just stir the pot, man. If you go to any of their websites, they got the list of bands there. If you visit that same website in 6 months, there will be new additions, and then some of the older acts won't be there. If your career's not going well, you always blame your booking agent. Man, he never calls me back. He never gets us jack. You know, he doesn't do nothing. There's always a lot of blame going around. And what I told this Tyler for emailing me down there in Stephenville. Thank you, Tyler. Man, just he looked like he had some dates. I kind of looked at their itinerary. Man, they had dates around here. They're just playing a bunch of places that a lot of guys are playing. Where I'm playing, frankly, I'm just kind of like, man, you know. I mean, he seems to be out there really hustling for himself. And I just said, man, until you get really going, man, just keep doing it yourself. As I told him, man, I've been booking myself essentially here for the last few years. And, you know, just kind of rolling on what I know. And, man, I've always got my ears open. Hey, and there's a new place. And I have found that, you know, in the 90s or whenever we were starting, man, it was hard to get information. A lot of y'all don't remember the pre-internet era. But let me tell you, man, it was the dark ages compared to what we have now. I mean, you would not know, living in Austin, Texas, where I was living, what was going on in Lubbock. You know, where anybody was playing, what bars there were, what bands, what no one would even know I was out there or how to contact me. It was just impossible. Only thing you could do is talk to some dude who went to school out there maybe and say, hey, man, there's this place down here and there's this other place you can play. You ought to give this guy a call. He's my friend. He runs this bar. Here's his number. If you didn't get that, man, you had no bearing. But what you could go to is a booking agent. Man, you had like, oh, I don't know, in Austin, you had Davis McLarty was a good agent. Still around, does good work for a lot of guys. You know, he would know because he would have run cross paths with some guy in Lubbock. Oh, I can get you in there. I can get you in there. So your booking agent was your guy, man. Your link to an unknown world where bands like you were playing and hopefully drawing crowds and making a little money, etc. So you were paying that booking agent. You were kind of like, hey, man, I'll give you 10% or 15% of whatever you bring in to get me into your world, you know, to hook me up with all your contacts. And, oh, man, I can get you into this place in San Antonio, this place in Dallas. We got a place in Oklahoma City we play. They'll book, if I call them and tell them you're great, you know, they'll get you in there. And that was worth that, always. But I would say to people coming up now, man, there is just no lack of information out there. And, you know, all you guys starting your bands and stuff, you're looking at other bands online. Man, where are these guys playing? You're checking out clubs online. You're looking at pictures. Oh, man, looks like whoever McClure had a pretty good night. There's a lot of people. Cool. It's a nice size stage. Man, you can see all this stuff. You see the booking contact. And, yes, it's competitive. And, yes, it's a pain in the ass to keep emailing and getting no response from some club. You know, hey, there's no question. But I think the whole thing of like, man, it just looks more professional to have a booking agent. I think that used to be true more than it is now. Now you've, man, I think the walls are down. Everyone knows what the club looks like, who plays there. That information is all out there for you to just gather up, man. And you know what? They're not going to book you unless they've got some compelling reason to do so. You know, the only reason anyone's going to book you is if you can bring a crowd. And sort of like I told Tyler in my email, and what I'll tell all of you young bands out there, young artists, it all comes down to whether you can get a few people in there for the place. If you go to your local bar and say, hey, man, let us come in here on Thursday. Don't even pay us or give us a free bar or whatever. We'll bring some friends out. You know, we'll see how it goes. They're going to say, okay, whatever. You can talk your way into somewhere, usually. You get up there and, man, see if you can bring some people in there and see if you can get the attention of maybe some people who are already in there to say, hey, man, you guys are pretty good. Man, if your friends don't want to come, they're like, dude, I don't know, I got other stuff going on. And when you start playing, the people sitting at the table you don't know kind of get up and leave because they don't want to deal with it. Then you need to reevaluate what you're doing, man, because what you're doing is not working. you know, you're either too loud or you're too, or your songs aren't good enough or just your voice isn't very good. I mean, it's not that you don't have a booking agent. Am I making sense here? Let me tell you, dude, if you roll into these places and you get up there and you say, how's everybody doing? And you make people laugh, you play some songs and you entertain the crowd. And man, you bring 30 of your buddies in there just drinking all night. Let me tell you, the bar's going to say, hey, man, you want to come back next month? Or, hey, man, let's try this again and see how it goes. You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. And then you just start kind of building out from there. If you can't do that kind of in the beginning or after, maybe not right at the beginning where you're just trying to figure things out, but I mean, after a few years of playing, man, if you just have a hard time even getting anybody in there at all or any interest or you know, you just have no one come up to you and say, man, you guys are great, and then maybe it's time to think about something else. But if you can get people in there and kind of talk your way into places and you're drawing some people and doing well, man, you just don't need a booking agent. And I would just say, man, if you're getting your own shows and you're getting some people out, then book yourself. And it kind of, this kind of led into some other unsolicited advice for Tyler in Stephenville. I kind of said, man, I've done it a lot of different ways. I've had booking agents, man. I've leased buses and vans and rented out hotel suites at gigs and all kinds of stuff. I tell you what, and I don't know if this is sad or what. I don't know. I remember when I was young living in Austin, a friend of mine, Keith Robinson, my drummer, a great drummer, played at some gigs with Jimmy LaFave, who was much older than me and a well-known songwriter. Jimmy LaFave out of Austin, great singer-songwriter. He'd played some gigs. Keith had gone to play drums with Jimmy. I said, where'd y'all play? He's like, man, Chicago and all these places in the Midwest. I was like, oh, wow, man, how do y'all do that? That's a long way. He's like, oh, he's got some fans up there. And you know, we just drove in, played the gig. I'm like, well, how'd y'all? He just goes, man, after the gig at 2 a.m, Jimmy got a cup of coffee. We got in the van. We just drove to Austin. Just drove home. I'm just like, dude, what? Why? How can you drive all? Oh my gosh, you know, it's such a long way. When are you gonna sleep? You got to get hotel room. I just was astounded. I was shocked. I was just amazed. And man, all these years later, I just conduct myself more or less in the exact same fashion. Because, dude, you know, you get an offer from somewhere, they're paying you some money, you get up there with your band, you pay your band, and, dude, if you just decide, we're going to get a hotel or a couple few hotel rooms for everybody, have their own bed. Dude, man, in the 90s, I mean, I don't know, what did La Quinta room cost? $40, $50, something like that? I remember paying like $39.99 for them. Man, they just cost you $100, man, $80. And you spend the day there. I mean, so I kind of told Tyler, I said, look, man, if you want to have a chance of getting off on the right foot, making some money playing music, the two things I would say is book yourself and never, ever, under any circumstances, ever pay for a hotel room. And if you find that more than you can bear, you don't want to do the emails, you don't want to do the calls, and you don't want the humiliation of somebody not calling you back or saying, who are you, or you stink, or whatever. If you can't bear that to book yourself, and you can't bear the thought of driving all night and drinking your coffee and not, you know, partying in the hotel room after the gig that you're some hotel room you're paying $100 for. If you're like, well, man, if I can't do it that way, I'm not even going to do it. Then don't even get started. But man, if you want to get out there and grind and, you know, just pay your band and come back and be out your band and your gas and that's it for the gig, you can get out in front just a little bit. Book yourself. Never stay in a hotel room. That'd be my first 2 points of advice. Now, hey, if you get going and you get making money, then okay, there's a few more on the list we'll cover in another time. Well, lo, hark! What is it I hear out there? Rummaging around in the galley area, the kitchen right outside my door here. I hear him in there rummaging through the refrigerator, looking for, you know, leftover food, drinks, stuff like that. That's right, it's Walker, Texas Road Manager, I believe. Rummaging around through the kitchen out here at Trinidad World Recording. We're going to bring Blake in here to talk some music, some sports. He'll no doubt have some opinions and things that are just going to upset me. Stay tuned. It should be entertaining. We'll be right back.
You start a conversation you can't even finish. Your lips are moving a lot, but you're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, ha! Why say it again? Psycho killer, kiss kiss say, ba 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 ba, yeah. Run 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 away. Oh, psycho killer,
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it. From Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, email me phil@philpritchett.com or call me 817-733-5256 to book the full band, to bring the full band to your home, your ranch, your kitchen, wherever it may be. We'll come play a show for you. You'll never be the same once it's over, let me tell you. Someone who can attest to that claim is none other than our old road manager, Walker, Texas road manager. Blake Walker is here.
Good times.
How you doing, Walker?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Always thrilled anytime he can stop by, man. He's out there working the day job, raising the family, making it all work. Oh. Everybody's trying to make a living, as the song says. Walker no different, but no doubt reflects on his time with the full band as a road manager out there, you know, jumping the van and, you know, calling the police when the van gets stolen. Those are the good times that keeps him going.
Changing alternators, calling the cops.
That's right. As a life that once was, he's always like, man, let me get on the podcast. Offer some insight. Offer some background on what's going on. How does the day find you, Walker?
Oh, it's rainy. It's cold. Got a nice hot cup of coffee.
It's a good day for podcasting.
About to chat with my old buddy.
It's always hard when it's when the weather is delightful outside and you're kind of in here trying to work or record. I always tell the guys, I'm always like, man, I like recording when it's cold outside. You get your coat. You know, it's rainy. You shuffle it off when you get in here, grab a guitar, kind of start, you know, podcasting, recording, making a record.
Let the inspiration flow.
That's why all those guys like Dylan, they're all from like Minnesota, you know, and all the British bands. It's just cold in England out there in some castle recording, you know, with Sting or something. That's how it goes, man. We're no different here at Trinidad.
Minus the drugs.
That's right. Well, man, speaking of music, we were talking off the air before you walked in here out here in the gallery. I heard you shuffling through the refrigerator out there. I was like, man, Walker must be here. Man, it turns out he's all broken up over this Billy Ray Cyrus divorce, man. What is going on there?
Dude.
The news hit the wire. Walker is devastated.
His old lady cheated on him with a walking STD. Oh. Bret Michaels. Is that guy not the biggest joke in the history of... I mean, what a one-hit wonder.
But dude, she married Billy Ray Cyrus.
I mean, also a one-hit wonder.
Maybe she's attracted to this kind of douchebaggery.
White trash one-hit wonders. Has there never been... I just heard the Hardline talking about it
What does
the
she
other day.
See in him? The same thing she saw in her own husband. You know, on a different level.
Bret Michaels has stretched this one-hit wonder hairband thing out further than anyone could ever have dreamed.
Yeah, really.
Shows and CDs and cover CDs. I mean, the guy does tons of stuff.
Yeah, people think about Poison now. He's in Poison, man. You know, like they were like Van Halen or something.
Yeah, they weren't.
Or Motley Crue. And you look back, you're like, dude, no, you know, those bands were funny as well and over the top. But you go, dude, Van Halen had five or six huge albums, man. Big, big hits.
Poison had like one, right?
Yeah, Eddie Van Halen was a storied and revered guitar player. You know, Motley Crue had a lot of hits. Yeah, dude, Poison had Look What the Cat Dragged In, that album. Talk Dirty to Me and Rose Has Its Thorn.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn is like their big, that's their song.
But if you were a young kid right now, you'd hear about like Poison, there's Bret Michaels, and you hear somebody talk about like Guns N' Roses, you'd think, oh, they're just they were both just big bands in the 80s or early 90s. And that's not the case.
The Roses have some talent, dude. They had some great songs. The Roses.
Well, that's exactly my point. That maybe the young folks out there might think. You would think that Michaels is just some legend, you know? And you're like, dude,
he
had one crummy song.
Yeah. And he probably didn't write, you know?
Yeah.
He put on some makeup and, you know, hairsprayed his hair and wore tights. And chicks loved it.
I remember I saw his house on Cribs one time. Dude, it was just awesome. It was up in the Hollywood Hills, like at a fire pit. And he had this studio back. I was like, dude. I said, I mean, I had the same thought you did. I go,
where did, I mean, I know they had a couple hits, right? I mean, they had a few years there, but I'm like, how does he have all this, I mean, how could he have this much money?
What does he do in a studio besides show it off?
Yeah. He ain't
writing anything. There's nothing good coming out of that studio.
Yeah, so Walker all broken up about that, man. Billy Ray Cyrus. What a joke, man. And then your good friend, I saw, it's sad to see Charlie Sheen had some trouble.
That guy will never get it together, man. As long as they're paying him like $1 million an episode to do 2.5 Men, he can do whatever he wants. There's no punishment. He goes out and kills someone and CBS
holds a knife to somebody's throat.
Yeah,
you know?
CBS pays him $500,000. They don't care.
Charlie Sheen, of course, caught in a gosh, I don't even know, a hotel room at the Plaza. Just covered in cocaine, naked, with a crying hooker in the closet. Wasn't that the story?
That was the story.
I was just like, goodness gracious. Like, you couldn't even draw that up. You couldn't even make that up for the guy.
Well, I mean, it's like...
No one would believe it.
Only in America and entertainment can you get caught coked out almost killing a hooker, and that doesn't hurt your career.
Yeah, right.
If I do that, I get fired. There's no way I show up to work Monday. You know, my wife's going to leave me, and I'm going to show up to work, no job.
Yeah.
But Charlie Sheen gets paid, you know, $500,000 an episode for his show, and nobody cares. It's just par for the course.
Well, man, our beloved manager, Ron Washington, he stuck around after his run-in with drugs.
Yeah.
Is it if you win, you keep going? Is that the deal?
Yes, that's America, dude. If you're good looking and you win or you're funny, no one cares. Or if you write good music, no one cares.
Well, you know what? I do think you have to show some remorse. As long as you say, hey, I'm sorry. It's kind of like the steroids thing in baseball. You have the guys who just admitted it. They just moved on clean. The guys who said, damn it, I told you I never did it. Those are the guys in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's where it comes down. You got like, you know, Sosa and Clemens and Bonds. They all might go to jail, but, you know, they're just outcasts of the league because they wouldn't own up to it. You know, whereas guys like Andy Pettit and some guys just kind of said, yeah, you know, I did it a couple times. I'm not proud of it. They just move on. They just go back to the World Series.
It's pathetic.
What is that? What's the message there? Come on. You're a man of integrity, a man of dignity. What are we supposed to take away from all that?
Well,
you have kids.
I don't think you can ever preach to your kids to look at athletes or actors or musicians, no offense, to be anything but exactly what they are.
Yeah.
Entertainment and artists, you know?
Right.
You cannot paint them as a role model.
Right,
you can't.
Right.
You can't do it. There's too many people out there who are worthy of being painted as a role model and wasting
and
your time.
They're probably not on TV.
No, they got soldiers and police officers and teachers and preachers, and you got plenty of guys you can look at and say, this is who you want to be when you grow up. But, man, taking your time to look at an athlete or any of these guys and say, hey, they should be held to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. No, they're not punished for anything they do. They get away with whatever they want. They're overpaid. You know, why put these guys in the limelight other than, hey, you got some talent and we appreciate that. But no way.
You know, what bothers me sometimes too is people say, man, they're just people like everybody else. And I totally agree with that. And they've got their flaws, right? But I guess I take a little offense as a human being myself. And so I'm certainly not perfect, God knows. But, you know, it's not like all my high school teachers were also just coked out with a hooker in the closet. I'm kind of like, well, we have our flows. You know, does that make sense? I wonder if, you know, in that kind of limelight, in that kind of atmosphere, some of the falls are just more, you know, I don't know, you're just exposed and offered more things, and the train wrecks are just far more spectacular than anything you'd see on a lower level. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
I was like, man, they're just people like – there's like you and me. I'm kind of like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I know I've got my flaws, but good grief, you know. I mean, this is wheels off here. You know, just crazy stuff.
Yeah, there's no way you can look at those guys and think
their
life's just like mine. You know, they can walk into any room.
Don't judge him. Yeah. We're all the same. You're kind of like, really? Wow. Man, it's kind of like we talked a couple podcasts ago, and this is something I keep coming back to the Bob Dylan article where he talks about the Roman pillars of morality. Not in a religious sense, but just talks about, you know, in Roman times you had wisdom, justice, moderation, and courage. And the depth of which an individual displayed those traits was a measure of that person's morality. You know, how much you could trust them or that kind of stuff. And it's funny when I think of those four traits – and you do look at a lot of our athletes, stars and stuff, people we give all this time, money, and attention to, and you go, how many of those traits do they display? You're just like, well, they're the exact opposite of probably all four. And maybe that's why we're paying so much attention to him. You know what I mean? it's kind of depressing a little bit. You're like, you know, and you think of some people in your community, maybe your neighbor down the street that just goes to work every day as a kid. You go, man, that guy, at least, now you never know the whole story, of course, behind closed door, but at least what everybody says about him, what you know about him and experience, you go, man, he's a wise guy. He's just, he's good to his family. He's not a
That
a
used
drunk.
To mean something.
Yeah, he's courageous. Yeah, I mean, this guy really displays the four, but that's not the guy who's going to run for office or be a movie star, more than likely.
Take me back to the 40s and 50s, man. I'm old school, man.
Oh, listen to you.
Look,
Mr. Good Old Days syndrome.
Okay, Audie Murphy from Texas, Greenville, Texas.
He was probably on cocaine.
No, not. Yeah, let's not. On. Do not bash Audie Murphy. His ghost will come in here and shoot us. Audie Murphy wins the Congress. He's the most decorated soldier in World War II.
Of course, Audie Murphy became an actor, decorated soldier in World War II, actor, right?
This guy is the most decorated soldier in World War II. Mm-hmm. He comes out of World War II, and what do? They make him an actor. You talk about a solid guy, okay? Yeah. That's a guy I want to look up to and
I
love to see that. He's the only guy to ever play a movie about himself, to hell and back.
It was about
his life story, and
he
played himself.
Just shooting the machine gun, just taking out guys.
And it's cheesy, it's black and white, but I grew up on it. And back then, those are the guys that were in film.
Right.
Those are the guys, and athletes and actors were supposed to be role models. That's how people looked at them. And they would campaign them, and the media would use them in all sorts of publicity and other things. And they used them as role models. And those are people, some of them, worthy of being role models. And we've gone way away from that, you know?
Why is that, you think?
I don't know.
True. Back then, hey man, maybe these actors, they did all have secret lives and stuff.
Dude, and Jimmy Stewart and Elvis signed up to be in World War II just to show the public, hey, we're doing our part.
Yeah, that's right. DiMaggio, all those guys went off to war.
Signed
Ted
up,
Williams.
Yeah. Now we got guys, all they do is protest and cry.
And someone will point out, and rightly so, hey man, John F. Kennedy and all that, they all had a dark side and a flawed side. And absolutely they did. There's no question about it. But what I would say is this. Back then, what was presented to the American, what we wanted to see, what was presented was the good side.
Mm-hmm.
You would say, hey, let's show people that Jimmy Stewart is a war hero, he's an actor, he's a family man, whatever, Paul Newman, guys like that. And they weren't famous because of their Bret Michaels-ish tendencies.
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's sad.
Where did that line draw? Like, hey, let's not put guys on TV. People are not attracted to the good things. They're attracted to the bad things. Let's flip the table. Let's not put guys out here that are, you know, living by these four Roman pillars of morality. Let's find guys that are the opposite. That's what people really want to see. Is it what we really want to see?
Well, here's what's crazy is back then you have a drug or sex scandal. I mean, you're gone. You're out of the limelight. You're not getting any more scripts. You're not getting a chance. Your career's over.
If they think you're a communist, you're out.
I was about to bring it to that, man. It was even so
tolerance. No tolerance.
Yeah, you even had guys lose entire careers over the blacklist and the.
If people didn't think you were an American, by God, you're out.
Yeah, and that nowadays,
fair or not, that's how it was.
It's the complete opposite nowadays. Right. Nowadays, you come out and you take a right wing. Christian conservative viewpoint, you're out of Hollywood.
Yeah,
no one wants you. You know, it's totally opposite.
Right. You got to show that you are anti-American to get roles and to seem open-minded.
Oh, yeah.
And artsy, you know.
And I always love the guys like Redford and the dudes who never bought into Hollywood. They still had a ranch in Colorado or Wyoming.
Right.
They showed up to Hollywood for a premiere or to film something, and they left. They didn't want to be involved in all that crap.
Boy, he's a lefty though, Redford.
He is.
Wow.
But there's still something to be said about.
I think you're right. We talked about that before.
Just stay out of Hollywood.
You know, you're like, well, man, Harrison Ford never just has to punch out a photographer. I'm like. He's not just in L.A. having lunch.
He's in Wyoming.
Yeah, he's fly fishing somewhere. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just like, well, man, the reason Ashton Kutcher's always having to, you know, kick some journalist in the balls is because they're following him around. I'm like, dude, he's up walking up and down Rodeo Drive, you know, with a smoothie.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to get followed around. Then he's going to get upset, or Sean Penn or somebody. They're always out there walking around. I don't know. They bring it on themselves, I think, in some way, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Well, Walker, Texas Road Manager, has been here. Blake Walker. We hope he'll come back next week because I really want to get into some sports talk with you.
Let's do it.
A lot of guys always email me, hey, Phil, talk about some sports. Talk about some sports. Tie it into music. There's all kinds of stuff like that going on we talk about. So look for Blake Walker next week rummaging through our refrigerator and sharing some sports opinions in here on the podcast. Thank you, Walker. Well, as promised, Kurt South is rolling in his grave in Virginia, buried with full Confederate military honors.
We love you, Kurt.
Kurt, no, he's very alive and well, but he would be rolling in his grave were he dead that we have Joni Mitchell in the vault. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, South, but check it out. Joni Mitchell next.
Traveling, looking for something, what can it be? Oh, I hate you some, I hate you some, I love you some. Oh, I love you when I forget about me. I wanna be strong, I wanna live alone, I wanna belong to the living. Alive, alive, I wanna get up and drive, wanna wreck my stockings in some jukebox time. Finding some sweet romance with me, baby. Well, come on. All I really, really want our love to do is to bring out the best in me and in you too. All I really, really want our love to do is to bring out the best in me. I wanna shampoo you, wanna renew you again and again. Applause, applause, life is our cause. When I think of your kisses, my mind seesaws. Do you see, do you see, do you see how you hurt me, baby? So I hurt you too. Then we both get so blue.
It's the unraveling, and it undoes all the joy that could be. I wanna have fun, I wanna shine like the sun, wanna be the one.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Did you know you can download my own Blueprint Garage Volume 3? P2Tunes.com just for $4, or just go pluck aside some singles off of iTunes. It's all out there. Dirty South, the new single from me and the full band doing the Gary Floater classic. Pick it up. Well, did you hear that thump? I don't know if that was Stephen Stills on this album hitting an acoustic guitar with the sound of our old friend Kurt South up there in Virginia hitting the floor as we look at one of his most hated artists, Joni Mitchell. In the vault. I had to wait till Kurt was safely in Virginia before I tried this. And man, listen, Joni Mitchell beats me too, man. Beats me in a lot of her later stuff. Very jazzy, man. She got really into, like, you know, late jazz, like jazzy disco kind of stuff. I don't know if you'd say disco, but, oh, I don't know, fusion-y stuff. But man, here in the early days, man, it was safe. Joni was safe, man. Acoustic-driven, songwriter-driven. Her voice drives some people crazy. It did me at first. I got to tell you, though, it grows on me a little bit. When this thing stuff comes on in the house, you know, I dig it. The kids like it. You know what I'm saying? Just doing the dishes, running around the house. Joni Mitchell playing. Great album. Well, this is Blue. I think this is her third or fourth record. I don't know for sure. I just know she was traveling around Europe after she broke up with her famous boyfriend, Graham Nash, of Crosby, Stills, and Nash fame. Canadian-born Joni Mitchell, man, she's definitely one, she's kind of a cool chick, man, always smoking and painting and just doing her own thing, never sold out, definitely kind of the female Neil Young kind of artist out there, man, someone who just always kind of stuck to her guns, and very unique. I mean, it's kind of like Willie Nelson. Someone, I don't like his voice, or Dylan. I don't like the way he sings. You know, Joni Mitchell sometimes are like, oh, she's got that high voice. Ah, not into it, Phil. Not into it. I hear you. But man, she's a fine guitar player and a great songwriter. You want to talk about unconventional songwriting? Check out Joni Mitchell, man. And this is her best, Blue. Man, this next song is one of my favorites off of this one. This Flight Tonight. This could be a Pritchett full band tune, man. Check it out, Joni Mitchell.
Look out the left, the captain said, the light's down there, that's where we'll land. I saw a fallen star burn up above the Las Vegas sands. It wasn't the one that you gave to me that night down south between the trailers. Not the early one that you can wish upon, not the northern one that guided in the sailors. Oh, Star Bright, you got the loving that I like, alright. Turn this crazy bird around, I shouldn't have gone on this flight tonight. You got the touch so gentle and sweet, but you got that look so critical. Now I can't talk to you, baby, I get so weak. Sometimes I think love is just mythical. Up there's the heavens, down there's the town. Blackness everywhere and little light shine. Oh, darkness, blackness, dragging me down. Come on, light the candle in this cool heart of mine. Oh, star bright, you got the loving that I like. All right, turn this crazy bird around. I shouldn't have got on. Drinking sweet champagne, got the headphones up high. Can't numb you out, can't drum you out of my mind. They're playing goodbye, baby, baby, goodbye. Ooh, love is fine. Ooh, love is fine. Up go the flaps, down go the wheels. I hope you got your heat turned on, baby. I hope they finally fixed your automobile. Hope it's better when we meet again, baby. Star bright, you got the love that I like. All right, turn this crazy bird around. Shouldn't have gone on this flight tonight.
Ah, yes. Well, fans, are you digging on my particularly poppy and scratched up vinyl copy of Blue here? Nothing is wrong with your iPod. Nothing is wrong with your laptop or whatever you're listening to this show on. It is vinyl, folks. You can't fake that. Goodness gracious. Yeah, my copy of Joni Mitchell's Blue, I bought it at Doc's Records here in Fort Worth. I've been looking for it for a few years, and I haven't run across it, man. At any half-price books or anything like that. I've had my eyes out for it, and I found this copy. They had a couple copies at Doc's. They've got everything there. It's a great, great shop there on Montgomery. Check it out if you're ever in town, Doc's Records on Montgomery and Fort Worth. They got everything, man, but they've got, like, in different stages. Like, they'll have, you know, 4 copies of the Beatles, you know, 10 copies of the Beatles' White Album. One is missing the poster, and there's a scratch on side 2 that costs $5. One of them is immaculate, you know, with the poster in there and all the goodies, no scratches on the outside, and they're all labeled, like, what's wrong with each one, so you can get you a copy of the Beatles White Album for $5, or you can spend, you know, $25 for a really nice copy. Yeah, so I kind of lowballed my Joni Mitchell Blue copy. It kind of said popped and scratched a little bit, but I dig it, man. It's kind of like listening to the fireside, you know, just a crackling fire in the fireplace. Mitchell playing her acoustic guitar, singing in the house. Nice stuff, man. You know, she dated all these guys, James Taylor and Graham Nash and, oh, all those old, you know, California-Canadian songwriter guys. But man, what a unique voice, man, and a really great guitar player. And man, was always kind of retiring and dropping out of the limelight. Indeed, she made Blue, this album, after she had kind of quit performing. I think this was 1970 or 71. You know, after she broke up with Graham Nash, and just traveled around, wrote songs, and you kind of lived an old bohemian traveling life, writing songs. It's so appealing, isn't it, these days, to think that somebody was out there doing that kind of stuff. Now everybody's already doing, promotions for their CD at the mall before they've even the records even come out or something, or you know, going on radio shows and just talking about their new album and their video and all and whatever stupid contest they have online. No one just says, man, I've been traveling in Africa with my guitar for a year trying to write some great music. Is anybody out there doing that? Let me know if they are. Well, here Joni's going to sing about the river, man. Wishing she had that river to ride. Blue, Joni Mitchell.
Reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. So long, I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I'd made my baby to help me, you know, he put me at ease, and he loved me so naughty, made me weak in the knees. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad, now I've gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to reindeer singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away on.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Well, there goes our gal Joni Mitchell there, singing for all of you out there about that river, skating away on a river. You know what I'm talking about? How about that little Jingle Bells variation she did on the piano at the top of that tune? You know, you're thinking, dude, she's ripping off Jingle Bells. Then you hear her singing about Christmas and winter and stuff. It's all intentional. Just a little creative twist on it, man. A creative twist! If Joni Mitchell is about one thing, it's about putting creative twists on things. Pretty cool, man. Intriguing stuff. She's got a lot of great stuff out there, man. Check out also Court and Spark. Maybe we'll do that on a future edition of the podcast. Court and Spark. It's got a lot of great songs on there as well. And that's from this same early 70s, late 60s era, you know. She was kind of a lone voice in that whole deal, you know, the California scene songwriter. Out there traveling around, writing songs. So appealing. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today, folks, on this cold, rainy day here at Trinidad World Recording Studios. Had the coffee out. Had our good friend Blake Walker, Walker, Texas Road Manager, dropping by. Just shooting off opinions left and right like sparks in the night. Flying all over the studio here. Just talking about, oh, man, we threw in some crazy celebrity news there. Talking about, oh, man, the train wrecks, you know, we're all just so in tune with them these days. I guess it's not news to just say, man takes daughter to school, you know, wife shows up on time for work. You know, that's just not what's going to, that's just not the man bites dog thing. So, but it may be one day, it may be so rare that a politician or a celebrity does what he says he's going to do and behaves himself. That might be front page news. We anxiously await that day. So thanks, Blake Walker, for showing up, sharing some time. Blake, I think, is going to drop by next week to talk some sports. Man, I know he's pissed about the Cowboys. Oh, I'll know. I know all of y'all out there, you love the Cowboys or you hate the Cowboys. So, but a lot of parallels between Jerry Jones running the Cowboys, building the gigantic stadium there in Arlington here. And the Cowboys not performing well, bad ticket sales when the teams are bad. A lot of parallels there between that and the music business these days. So we might take a look a little bit deeper when Blake's back here next week. So stay tuned for that. Join us. Call me, as always, 817-733-5256. Book the full band. You're thinking to yourself, Phil doesn't want to come all the way out here and play for me. Garbage! Yes, he does. Me and the full band in tow. We're going to be there, man, to rock it out. New Year's, we're putting the call out as well. New Year's Eve, we're looking for a New Year's Eve gig. We didn't play one last year. So disappointing. Come on, some of y'all are out there having a New Year's party. Phil at philpritchett.com. Email me. Yeah, Phil, we're having a party. What's it going to take? Let's work it out. Well, enjoy your week, folks. We will be back next week with our good friend Blake Walker and so much more. Be good to each other out there. We'll see you next week. Much tougher.
The wind is in from Africa. Last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave here, Carrie, but it's really not my home. My fingernails are filthy, I've got beach tar on my feet, and I miss my clean white linen and my fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cage,
Carrie, get out your
and
cage.
I'll put on some silk.
I'll put on some silk.
Oh, you're a mean old but I like you. Come on down to the Mermaid Cafe, and I will buy you a bottle of wine, and we'll laugh and toast to nothing and smash our empty glasses down. Let's have a round for these freaks and these soldiers, a round for these friends of mine. Let's have another round for the bright red devil who keeps me in this tourist town. Come on, Carrie, get out your cage.
Carrie, get out your cage.
I'll put on some silk.
I'll put on some silk.
Oh, you're a mean old daddy, but I like you. I like you, I like you, I like you. Maybe I'll go to Amsterdam, or maybe I'll go to Rome, and rent me a grand piano and put some flowers around my room. But let's not talk about fare-thee-wells now. The night is a starry dawn, and they're playing that scratchy rock and roll beneath the mackerel moon. Come on, Carrie, get out your cage.
Carrie, get out your cage.
Put on some silk.
I'll put on some silk.
You're a mean old daddy, but I like.
I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave you, but it's really not my home. Maybe it's been too long a time since I was scrambling down in the street. Now they got me used to that clean white linen and that fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cape. I'll put on my finest suit. Go to the Mermaid Cafe, have fun tonight. I said, oh, you're a mean old daddy, but you're out of sight.